Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
How great thou art. Amen. Well, good evening. It is a good evening, right? Y'all had plenty to eat? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, you know, you snooze, you lose. You got to get here early to get the desserts. I'm learning that trick. Some of you. Well, tonight, thank you for joining this study. We're going to be looking at the Word of God in Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us as we study His Word tonight and pray that He will bless us. Father, we thank You tonight as we come into Your house. We're grateful for Your blessings upon our lives. We're thankful, Lord, for the gift of salvation to us. We consider it a blessing that You have thought so much to give Your only begotten Son that we might have eternal life. Bless this time together as we share from Your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that I think all of us have to deal with at one time or another. Would you just take a moment with me and bow your heads for just a moment? Father, I sense tonight that Your Spirit is very real and wants to reach out and touch someone here today. This is a night, Lord, that You can make a difference, and I pray that Your Holy Spirit will come and minister to us. Give us, Lord, a sense of joy that is unspeakable tonight. In Christ's name, amen. I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that has taken me a lot of years to get a hold of, but it has been a subject that has blessed my heart for a number of years, and that is the secret of contentment. How do we find contentment in a world that is so bad, so evil, so distraught, going different directions? How do we know for certain that we have a sense of contentment today? And I want to share with you tonight from the Scripture, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to share from the Apostle Paul a direction that he gives us. You see, in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church. And he says, beginning at verse 4, and I'm going to go ahead and read them, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." And then if you'll move over to verse 10, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 10, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Paul is giving us a lesson, a beautiful lesson on contentment. Now, the reason that the lesson is good is because he's talking from experience. You know, the older I get, the more I appreciate experience. I appreciate God's wisdom and understanding, and I'm starting to figure things out that I didn't understand when I was 15, 16, 17, 20, 25, 30, and on it goes. He's teaching us a lesson about being content in a discontent world. In this particular passage, in verse 10, the first part of the verse, he talks about, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. You see, contentment means that there has to be something that involves thanksgiving. I have to be grateful in order to be content. I find no content when I'm ungrateful. When I'm not happy with the way things are going, I find a great deal of content when I am giving thanks for what God has done for us. You see, I've never met a truly contented person that did not possess a spirit of thanksgiving. Not only that, but a person that is content, you'll find, will have a spirit of gratitude. Now, you're probably saying, well, Pastor, where does that start? Well, with me, it started the day that I bowed my head and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my life and change me, and help me change my ways. And when God did that, we call it being born again, taking on a new life in the kingdom of God, a spiritual realm that doesn't exist in this world but is here in spirit. When I did that, I had begun coming up with a spirit that of gratitude that was so powerful that I was grateful every day for what God had done for me. And I'm going to tell you, truthfully, since 1973, I haven't quit being grateful. Why? Because God continues to flow His mercy and His grace out, even in tough times, as the apostle learned. As a matter of fact, if you understood the English word that we use for greatly, it's translated in the Greek, it means mega. In other words, Paul was saying, I have so much gratitude that I've got the mega load. I mean, I knew a guy that came to our church years ago in Delta, a good friend of mine. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but his name was Tom. And Tom was so grateful for what God has done for his life and his family. Loved the Lord, and so did his family, and they still do. But Tom was one of those guys that he was so exuberant, he was so grateful and positive that you couldn't help but love him. And when he come to the service, he was totally different than a lot of people in the service. Here we've got all a mix of all different faiths in the sense of Christ, being in Christ, but different, you might say, denominations or non-denominations or whatever denominations or whatever it is in the middle. We do. We have a good mix. And the reason that we have a good mix is because people here are in Christ. We have a common denominator, that is, we are born again through the blood of Christ, and we have forgiveness of our sins, and guess what? We all have the hope of eternal life. Now, Tom had one characteristic about him that everybody in the church knew about, but everybody in the church loved. Tom was a hallelujah chorus. I mean, he'd come to church, and Tom would say, hallelujah! And he'd get him anywhere near the front. It was, you know, hallelujah! I mean, But it was real. It wasn't counterfeit or phony. It wasn't just because he was showing off. He just loved God so much that he had so much joy in his heart. He was grateful. And the only way he could express it was with hallelujah. And you know what? Everybody in the church loved him. He made friends with everybody. In fact, he had a lot of them saying hallelujah after a while because they were rejoicing with him. Paul is rejoicing hugely. Means mega load. He was excited about what God had done, even though at that time he was facing the possibility of having a death sentence bestowed upon him. He was still rejoicing. You see, he rejoiced because he had a spirit of thanksgiving. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful. And I have to tell you tonight, if you're not grateful, then get on board the Jesus train. Because Jesus will put a spirit in your heart that all these things in the world that come upon you, they will just kind of go away. Because you have an attitude of gratitude. You begin praising God. Contentment and gratitude always go together. They always go together. You see, I knew a lady one time that had a real bad attitude. And she professed to be a Christian. And we did what the church just did the other day. We brought in a can of soup. We were going to collect soup to feed the needy. That's a good cause. But the purpose and intent of doing that was so that the gospel could be taken to those people who had need. And this gal came into my office and she said, I'm not going to bring anything in. I said, okay. Why would you do that? It's just a can of soup. She says, because nobody's ever giving me anything. Wrong. You see, what she forgot was that I had known her just about all of her life. As a matter of fact, the truth is she had been given everything she had and then some. But her spirit was off. There was no gratitude for what she had been given. It was all about her, and she wasn't even willing to give a can of soup for somebody else. You see, contentment has to have that gratitude that I had just mentioned. There's been a saying that hurting people hurt people, and that's true. So what you have to have, if you want to have contentment, is you have to have an attitude of continual thanksgiving. Continual thanksgiving. The other thing that he says in Philippians, same verse, verse 10, is confidence in God's provision. Confidence in God's provision. Look, there are times, and I know there are for all of us, that Satan comes along and he makes us doubt that God's word is true, but God says he's going to provide everything that we need. He didn't say he's going to provide everything that we want. He's going to provide what we need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now, think about it for just a moment. That's a provision that God's saying I'm going to give you. So we have to have confidence. In Philippians 4:10b, the apostle says, at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. What was that all about? I mean, it sounds to me like maybe he's getting a little upset, but he really wasn't. Let's put it in perspective. The Apostle Paul, the church at Philippi, was one of a few groups that provided him with the financial support that he needed. The Apostle Paul was a missionary. You couldn't keep track of his address because it was always changing. He moved from location to location. He was always on the move. He was just that kind of guy. In fact, You'd have to change his address in your address book frequently. That's how quick he moved. And because it was going to change, and because of one of the moves that he had just experienced, get this. Paul didn't hear from the Philippians because he changed his address and the money stopped coming. Now, when the money stopped coming, some commentators believe that he didn't hear from the church or receive any support for at least 10 years. Now, Paul accepted that fund stoppage. With complete gratefulness, he accepted it. Why? Because he had complete confidence in the provision of God. When Mary and I decided to take a mission church and start a new plant in Swanton, we came out of college. We had a couple other offers, and they even had a paycheck. The one we took didn't. Until the district said, "We'll tell you what, we're going to give you $125 a week. And you just go in that community and you dig it out. You knock doors, you ask people to come to church. We got a basement in an insurance building, and we started bringing people in." And you know what? I have to tell you, God always provided. He always provided in unbelievable ways, ways that you'll never know until you step into the path of faith with Jesus Christ. Then things begin happening. I said a few weeks ago that nothing really happens until you're forgiven. And once you're forgiven, God's grace begins to work in your life and things begin to change and things happen that you can't even explain. You're an audience here with a lot of testimonies. You know I'm saying that. It's true. Things begin to happen. You've experienced things in your life where God intervened into your life and provided the things that you needed. You see, even though Paul didn't quite get what he needed for 10 years, he still rejoiced in the Lord. He was still thankful. In that little church, as we begin, one time we weren't always in need. God sold our house before we went to Bible college. We had just built it 3 years prior to that. Very content with it. My father built his across the street, and I built mine as well, and he helped me. We sold our house by an absolute miracle of God. God intervened, really intervened. And we went off to Bible college, and we had $25,000 in the bank. Now, 1973, that was a pretty good chunk. And people would come, students that we got acquainted with, friends, and they would have need. And, of course, we were so grateful for what God had done for us, we would help them. And in turn, they would help others. And that 25 grand went pretty quick. Very quick, as a matter of fact. But the truth of the matter is, we never doubted that God was going to provide for us and take care of us. You see, sometimes we can get a longing for more than what God has provided for us. And if you get your eyes off of Christ, you can do that real easy. You can want more than God is providing for you at the time. Now, God provided for us in a wonderful, marvelous way. You know, those early years, I think back now, and it doesn't do a lot of good to look back except for the good times when you realize that God's hand was in it. During those college days, I had a guy come to me, and him and his wife invited Mary and I to dinner, and while we were eating dinner, he said, "Do you suppose, Dave, that God would send somebody out here for 4 years and then the last semester not provide the finances?" I looked at Mary, and the Holy Spirit just looked at both of us. And I said, "Well, of course he'd provide for you. How much do you need?" And we gave it to him. No strings attached. Nothing. No expectations. Why? Because we're so grateful that God had given it to us. It wasn't ours. It was his anyway. And we were in this little New Start church doing our mission work, winning people in the community, and we got down to where things were really tight. You ever been real tight? Real tight? Yeah. Have you ever had a can of food on your table and that's it? That's it. And Mary went to the mailbox, and a year had gone by, and we had no expectations. And guess what was in the mailbox? A check from this couple thanking us for the gift, for the blessing. And we praised God for it, and we thanked him for it. And it not only was a blessing to them, but it was an answer to prayer for us, for the needs that we had, not our wants. Couldn't do that. You see, we didn't have a longing for more than what God was providing. My friend, I have some friends in the congregation, a couple, still have a couple friends, and they've known me for many years. And Mary and I have been people to live by faith. Faith is the greatest way in the world to live. You see, you're not living by sight, you're living by faith. If you start living by sight, you get real discouraged. The devil starts talking to you, telling you that, see, your God isn't going to provide for you, you're never going to have that prayer answered, and on he'll go, he'll pick on you. But we realized that living by faith was a wonderful way to live, because as we live by faith, God kept on providing our needs. And what was our mission? To win souls, to tell people about Jesus, to tell him about the joy that we had in our hearts and the joy that he would give them if they would give him a chance. And he did. Well, that develops a confidence. It's a real confidence. In fact, I've been told that sometimes, Pastor, you're just too positive. I had a guy in the house a while back, and he was sitting there telling me all the woes of the world. And every time he'd say something negative, I'd say, oh, yeah, but God can take care of that. And finally, after we went through that about 20 minutes, he looked at me and said, you are positive, aren't you? I said, well, yeah, because I know God. And God takes care of us when we have a need. Think for just a moment. Don't lose that memory. Remember when he did it. Well, the third thing, if you have confidence, is this. You have contentment regardless of the circumstances. Oh, that's a tough one. But, Pastor, you don't know my circumstances. I don't know them, but God does. Philippians 4:11 said, I am not saying this because I am in need, Paul said, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked somebody how they're doing? And they say, well, under the circumstances. Now let me tell you about living in Christ. We're not called to live under the circumstances. You see, in Romans, it says, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. We're more than conquerors. We don't live under the circumstances. We live above the circumstances because we are conquerors in Christ. I mean, if you think about it, for the Apostle Paul, those aren't really cheap words that he's talking about there. This learning had been purchased at the highest price ever. Even as he wrote this epistle, which mentions the word joy 19 different times in 4 brief chapters, the apostle is confirming that he is above his circumstances and not below it. Why? Because he's doing this at a time when he's confined to a prison. He's aware that at any time, the death sentence may come and be handed down to him. I think that you and I, by praising God and giving thanks for what he's done for us, puts us above the circumstances, regardless of the circumstances around us. Why would we feel that way? Well, I can just tell you about Mary and I. We can feel that way because I know for a fact, regardless of the circumstances, God will provide for me, and I have eternal life. Amen? Amen. I'm not stuck here to live in this old body forever. But I've got a hope that someday this shell is going to be gone, and I'm going to have a new spirit and a new body in Christ. And I'm going to rejoice with the heavenly hosts in that great circle. You see, that's joy. See, sometimes we just think a little bit that we need a change of circumstances in order to be happy. Now, let me just throw hopefully some wisdom out here. Because I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it in friends. I've seen it in the church. We think that in order to be happy, we need a change of circumstances. And the truth of the matter is, at least what we have learned is, the secret of being content is not about the change of circumstances. It's about knowing that the Holy Spirit is directing you and leading your life. You see, we had a change of circumstances. We took the good job, the new home, packed it all up, got in the U-Haul and took off to Colorado Springs. But we had no doubt that the Holy Spirit was leading us there. It was as clear as can be watching him do miracle after miracle after miracle. It was unbelievable. It really was unbelievable. That we sold our house was unbelievable. A 19-year-old kid came in the driveway. He wanted to kick the tires around. He saw the for sale sign. I walked through the house 10 minutes and left, and I told Mary, we're sitting on the picnic bench. I said, that's impossible. He's just a dreamer. He'll never be back. He just wanted to see the house. 30 minutes later, he comes back with the real estate man and his father. Then the real estate man says, they want to look through the house again. They want to look over the property. Had 4 acres, almost all frontage, 400 and some feet. Come back. He says, well, we've got your offer. It's exactly what you're asking. I said, from what? From that kid? Well, that kid did buy the property. Conventional loan. He financed it. And in 2 weeks, we closed that house. Impossible in this world, but not impossible with God. And by the way, he did use it. He built greenhouses all over that property, started a big business. And I was talking to someone just the other day that knew him and knew all about where his life had ended up and where it went. It's quite a story. But the reality is that if I thought we were going to have to live under the circumstances, if the circumstances would have been that here's a 19-year-old kid, tire kicker, who thinks he's going to have some property and buy a house and the kind of money, and it was just absolutely God. You see, it's not the change of circumstances, but for us, the Holy Spirit changed the circumstances, and with that miracle and many, many more, many more. Don't have time tonight to tell you them all, but I give you my word, many more. We ended up in Colorado. My wife had never been probably more than 10 to 20 miles away from home, and because her mother was right across the street. She was a farm girl, loved it, every minute of it. It was the hardest thing in the world to pull that U-Haul truck and put it in front of the house and load up our daughter and take off to Colorado. But I'm telling you, God provided all the way. You see, when God tells you to change the circumstances, you're okay. You know what God told me when I was 26 years old? You need to be born again. You need to know Christ. You need to change your life. And I said, but I got so much to change. It's okay. I got you covered. He covered every one of them. Everything. Matter of fact, the circumstances that he changed were so wonderful that it was such a blessing we had a new life in Christ. The other thing is this. It's been said by a guy named Marcel Prost. He's an author. He wrote a monumental work in the 20th century fiction consisting of 7 volumes, published over 14 years. It's called In Search of Lost Time. He wrote these words: "The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes." You know, for years I heard people tell me about this nice place over here and this nice place over there, and you could go down here and you could go to that state and this state. I mean, there's all these great vacation spots. And then one day I heard that within 200 miles anywhere in the state of Ohio, you could spend a lifetime just vacationing. You see, it's not in new landscapes, it's in having new eyes. And when Christ comes into your heart, he opens your eyes. You begin seeing a world that you've never seen when you're in darkness. You see possibilities that you could never have imagined that would ever happen. Better circumstances are not the answer to contentment. Consistency is. In all situations, Philippians said, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Just as you can't always know what a book is by the cover, just that way, you can know that Christ has you covered. You see, discontentment comes sometimes when you're in need. The reason you have discontentment is because it's a fear of not having enough. I mean, we all know people who are not satisfied, that are in need. Paul tells us you can be content even when you don't have enough. I mean, I know that some of you would not shop at the Dollar Tree. Boy, it's a great place for me. I have a ball in there. I go in there and I'm not talking about Taco Bell tonight, so we're talking. I'll tell you what happened to me the other day. And this is what I'm talking about. It's not about how much you have or how little you have. It's about how you see life. I was in line at the checkout at the Dollar Tree. And for a guy that's ADHD, it's like a toy store. I mean, you know, you can't get out of there, but you can get an awful lot for $50, let me tell you. Fill the car up. And I'm in line, and there's this little kid. He's at the end of the counter. And I don't know, how old was he, Mary? 7? Yeah, about 7. And I'm watching him dig his money out. And the cashier has already rung it up. It's not much, like $4 and something. And the kid's reaching in his zipper, and he's being real cautious because he doesn't want to lose it. And he gets in there, and he pulls out some nickels and dimes and some quarters, and then he pulls out a dollar bill, and then he reaches in another pocket. Now, the line's backed up about 20 long. And this little kid's sitting there, and I could sense that some people, you know, there are people that get irritated if they, you know, get backed up in line. Maybe that's a lesson for us. Next time you see somebody doing that, give the cashier a kudos of some kind. You're great. But this little kid, at the end, as I'm watching him digging for money, I realize what he bought. And I'm looking at the bag he's got, and sticking out of the bag is a whole bunch of plastic roses. Yeah. And then there's a little thing of candy with a heart in it. And then there was a card in there. And I'm already to say, I'll pay for it. Don't worry about it, you know. Because I said to the little boy, "Is that for your mother?" He said, "Yeah. Valentine's Day." And the whole line melted. You really should have seen now the difference in attitudes. And this little boy, he dug and dug, and he finally found the money. He had a $5 bill, got into one of them pockets that he was protecting. And he had a balloon. And it was a big balloon, and it said, "Happy Valentine's Day, Mom." And the guy at the cash register said, "Now you hold on to this because it might come loose, so you hang on right here." And I was telling him, you know, tie it to your wrist, whatever you do, don't let it go. And we opened the door, and he went out the door. And you could almost hear the "ah" in the line. And he went out, and he went over to a van that was parked by the curb, and he got in the van. And he took the stuff in. And we exited outside the store, went and got in our car. And when I got in my car, I looked over to the left at the van, and guess who was waving at me? His mom. I thought to myself, wait a minute. You know what? We can have different eyes and see things different, and we can be conquerors, and we can have a spirit of wonderful joy in our hearts if we'll just pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing. We'll be consistent in all situations. We don't have to be people that are discontent with life. We can determine that we are going to have an abundant life. We don't have to have fear that we're going to lose it. We can have joy in this life that is unspeakable and full of glory. And the way that you do it is by going to the maker of contentment. His name is Jesus Christ. And my friends, he said, Paul did, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." The bottom line of contentment, it all boils down to this: contentment in Jesus Christ. There is joy and peace and fulfillment in the Lord. You know what? You can even be content with your pay. You really can. You see, the reason that you can be is because Jesus said that, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is all we need to be able to say hallelujah. Let's stand tonight, please. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for Philippians and the Apostle Paul leaving us such a wonderful message that we don't have to be under the circumstances, that we can be satisfied in whatever state we're in. We can have the joy of the Lord wherever we're at, in whatever situation or circumstance. And some tonight may be in some real tough circumstances. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lift their hearts up and encourage them and let them know that you're the God that overcomes. You're the God that can bring them peace in the midst of the storm.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.